So we left off last time with a major stira, a major machlokas harishon. Machlokas harishon, whether adam mazik ba'ones is truly pater, or do you have to whittle that, excuse me, whether adam mazik ba'ones is truly chayiv, the position of the Ramban, the simple reading of the Mishnayos and Gemaras at the end of the second parak. And then you have to somehow explain away all of the Gemaras that seem to indicate that adam mazik ba'ones is pater. Or you're going to go the route of most other Rishonim, Tosis and the Rashi looked at so far, who seem to say, no, Adam, we don't really mean the Adam Mazik Ba'ones is Pater, not Onus Gomer, not a real Onus, just a partial Onus. And that comports well with all the Gemaras in the third parak and the Gemara later in the Masechta of the Tabach Human, where a person did something that caused a Nezek, and yet he's not paying as an Adam Mazik. So all those Gemaras later in the Masechta seem to indicate that Adam Mazik is not automatically Chayiv. That if it's not his fault, he's not Chayiv. What happened to Adam Mazik Ba'onas? What happened to the end of the second parak, Ar Sugya? So the answer is, for Tosis and the Rashba, and presumably the Rambam, well, we don't really mean Onas Gomer, we mean you're a little more Chayiv than you are by Mamun HaMazik. It means we're going to have to explain Ruach She'ena Matsuya and Chav Zayin Amad Beis. We're going to have to explain the Mishnah and the Drasha and Chavav Amnav Chavav Amad Beis. We're going to have to explain how that works. So Gansh raised a very good question, which is this whole business of Onus Gomer, Onus She'ena Gomer, where you draw the line. How do you define it? It seems very amorphous. And the truth is, you get to Tosfos, Tosfos starts drawing a lot of lines. Ken Aveda, Ken Geneva, to try to explain how everything works, and it becomes even more confusing. Now, if we could dive into that a little bit, I think that will begin the question of where you draw the lines, that will begin perhaps to shed some light on what's going on in the sugya. I know many of you had a chance to take a look at the closing sugya of the seventh parak of Bav Metzia. Officially, the third and eighth parak in Bav Metzia are about Shomrim. Parak HaMapi is the third parak, and Parak HaShol is the eighth parak. Lamasa, in a certain sense, the introductory or the most fundamental sugya of Shomrim is the end of Mishnah before Parak HaShol, the end of the seventh parak of Bav Metzia. The Mishnah on the bottom of Tzai Gimel Aleph lays out the Arba Shomrim, dinim that we have probably seen before. You know that there are four shomrim and there are three levels of chiyuv. The shomer chinam is the least chayiv, and then shomer sachar is more chayiv, and shoel is the most chayiv. So if you ask me to watch something as a favor, I'm a shomer chinam. That's the first of the three parshas of shomrim in Mishpatim. And then I'm only chayiv for pshia. If I was negligent, so then gross negligence, and then I have to pay. So you asked me to... what, keep an eye on your laptop while you're gone, and I left the laptop on a busy city street, and I walked away, and I came back, and lo and behold, it's gone. So who's chayiv? Me. I mean, I have to actually pay you for it. Just to explain, if I'm not a shomer, and I saw someone's laptop sitting on a busy city street, and I did nothing about it, so that might be the wrong thing to do. There may be a violation of Losam al Damriyach, if I know whose it is, if there's something I could do. But if I didn't do anything about it, I Hashavas Aveda. But if I didn't do anything about it, I don't bear financial responsibility. But if I'm a shomer, so then I actually bear financial responsibility for it. But only if I was poshea. If I'm being paid to be a shomer, if I'm a shomer sachar, so then my degree of responsibility rises. Now I'm paid for two levels. Number one, if I was poshea, I have to pay. Even if I wasn't poshea, the second parasha in the safe in Mishpat, second parasha of Shomrim, Mishpatim tells us, even if I wasn't poshea, but it was a geneva v'aveda. If it was stolen, or if it got lost, I wasn't grossly negligent. I was keeping an eye on it, but it got stolen. I was keeping an eye on it, but I lost it. I didn't leave it on the street for someone to easily steal. I lost it. Geneva v'aveda, Shomer Chinam would be pater, and he would have to swear, but he wouldn't have to pay. Shomer Sachar has to pay not only for Pshia, but even for Gnev Aveda. And finally, the top level, the Shoel, is Chayiv not only for Pshia and Gnev Aveda, but even for Onas. There was nothing he could have done. Someone asked to borrow your racehorse. Someone has to borrow your cow. Someone has to borrow your car, whatever it is. The animal had a heart attack. What are we supposed to do about that? Well, mace. You asked to borrow someone's car. You got carjacked. People come over to you at gunpoint at a red light and make you step out of the car. They run off with the car. That's what the Gemara calls list the mazim. Armed robbers, it's clearly an onus. There's nothing you could have done to prevent that. It's totally out of your control. Onus. Shomer chinam and shomer sachar, obviously we potter, but a shoel is chayiv even for onus. That's the third of the three parashos in Mishpatim. That's also recorded in the Mishnah, the end of the seventh parak of Bavitzia. And then, as an aside, I wouldn't focus, but as an aside, there is a fourth shomer. The fourth shomer is a socher. A socher is going to be a step down from a shoel. Shomer sachar, shomer chinam don't get to use the item. They either are watching it for free or watching it for pay. A shoel gets to use the item, so he's obviously higher than all of them. A socher is a renter who gets to use the item but has to pay for it. So he's going to be less than a shoel. After all, he's paying for the privilege of using it. The machlokas hataram, does he drop down one step or two steps? Does he drop down to be a shomer sachar or to be a shomer chinam? We pass in shomer sachar, but that's a sidebar, not relevant for our journey right now. Now, over the course of the Gemara on that Mishnah, the Gemara at the end of the seventh paragraph of Mitzvah, what becomes clear is the following. What becomes clear is the following. How do you understand Gnev Aveda? What does Gnev Aveda mean? It got stolen. It got lost. Well, I just told you. Sometimes stealing is an onus. Right? If they came at gunpoint and that was unpreventable, that's an onus. Sometimes theft is not an onus. You could have prevented it. So isn't that pshia? Aveda, you lost it. Well, that's a pshia. No? Or isn't it? What does Dev Aveda mean? Either it's pshia or it's onus. How do you define these three categories? So what emerges from the sugya there is that onus means unpreventable. Gnev Aveda is preventable. Why isn't it pshia? So the answer is we draw a line across preventability. The Shomer Chinam's responsibility is to be a gavra b'charikoy, to be a person in my place. If you're a Shomer Chinam, you need to do what an owner would do for his own item. If I have a car, many people lock their doors in certain neighborhoods and don't lock their doors in other neighborhoods. Right? If you park on the street, few people would park on the street in New York City and not lock their doors. There are many people who would park on the street in suburbia and not lock their doors. Or locking your house door. There are people who would lock their apartment door or not lock their apartment door depending on where they are. If they're in upstate New York, they might leave the bungalow colony, they might leave the door unlocked, but when they're in New York City, they would definitely lock the door. So you have to mishaer based on location, based on the item. What would a typical owner do for his own item? If the shomer does less than a typical owner would do for his own item, that's pshia. You haven't, because the role of a shomer chinam is to step into the shoes of the owner. So if you're not even doing what an owner would do for his own item, that's pshia. So what's Gnev Aveda? Gnev Aveda are those things which are more than an owner would typically do for his own item, but still preventable. So I took the precautions that an owner did, but I could have taken more precautions. I could have locked doors more than a typical owner would. I could have kept things more shamur than a typical owner would have done. It was preventable. It's not an onus, or in our terminology, it's not an onus gamur. It was preventable, but I did as much as a normal owner would do. So it's a gnev of aveda. It was stolen, it was lost, in a way that in theory I could have prevented, but I did do the things that a normal owner would do. I'm watching someone's livestock, so in theory I could lock everything up and chain all the animals, and no animal's going to waddle off. Okay, but owners usually don't do that. They typically have some system in place. The animals tend to come back at night. I could have chained the animal up, but I didn't. Why would I? And it got lost. One of the animals didn't come home that night. It went out to graze, never came back. So if it's normal to let the animals graze freely and they always come back at night, so it's not an
It's not pshia. I did what the owner would normally do, but it's not onus either. I could have done more. The cases of onus are things where I really, there's nothing that I could do to prevent it. Let's understand a little more, and then I'll take your question. Let's understand a little more why this is. You may have noticed, that the Rambam in Hilchos, in the halachas of Schiras Polim, the halachas of a worker's responsibility towards his employer, Rambam, a big chunk of the Hilchos Schiras in the Rambam is dedicated to an employer's responsibilities towards his employee. The boss's responsibilities towards the worker. At the end, he talks about the worker's responsibility towards the boss, and he writes, a din that we saw in Maseilas Yesharim as well, Paul is mechuyev lava b'chol kocho. The worker is mechuyev to, if you're hired by the hour, hired by the day, you're mechuyev to put in an honest hour, an honest day, to work hard, full strength, during the time that you're hired. And he says, how do I know? What's the makar that a Paul mechuyev lava b'chol kocho? The makar is Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu tells Lavan, I worked full strength, I worked even though it was difficult, I went all out for you, and on the assumption that's not lefnim ashuras hadin, it's not mitzvah chasidus, that's mitzvah hadin. But the Gemara quotes that, quotes Yaakov Avinu as a mocker for Shomer Sacha.
And also didn't also end up saying that he was also acting mitzvah hadin?
Ah. So the Gemara quote says as a makar for Shomer Zachar. The Rambam somehow transfers it to Schiras Polim. So what do you see? What do you see, L'chor Shefta points out in a piece in Eretz HaTzvi, is that the concept of Shomer Zachar is really Shomer plus Poel. Now the notion of Shomer Zachar is, Shomer Chinam has to do what, if I'm not being paid, so I have to do what the owner would have done. If you pay me, the reason why Shomer Sachar is different than Shomer Chinam is because of the din of the general universal halachos of Schiras Polim. Whenever I'm paid to do a job, I have to do it b'chol kochi. Anytime I'm paid to do any job, whether that job is playing baseball, or that job is teaching at university, or that job is representing you in court, or that job is work on your plumbing, or that job is being a showman. Whatever sort of work I'm doing, if you pay me to do work for you, and you're paying me by the hour, which is not necessarily always the case in all the industries I just mentioned, but if you're paying me by the day, by the hour, by the month, if I'm a poel and not a kablan, I'm not paid by the job, then I'm a chuyev lavad b'chol kocho. So it's going to be true by, as Rambam saw Shomer Sachar as just an example of a larger category of poel. So whenever I'm paid to do work, I have to work b'chol kochi. That's geneva va'aveda. A shomer sachar is not a chayv an onsen because that's not a question of shmira. Onsen gemurim are things which are not preventable. I couldn't have worked hard enough to make sure that lightning wouldn't strike, you know, and ruin the car, whatever happened. I couldn't have worked hard enough. If I would have worked harder, the animal wouldn't have had a heart attack. That wasn't preventable. So something that's unpreventable, that's an onus. And of course, even the Shomer Sachar is pater because no degree of shmira can prevent onsen. The fact that a shoel is chayv an onsen, that's because, as the Gemara says elsewhere, the shoel, because he's like a partial owner. He gets to use the item, doesn't have to pay for it. The Gemara says he's almost like a partial owner, temporarily. He doesn't have the right to sell it, but he does bear the responsibility of an owner. If I own something and it gets ruined, I bear the cost. It wasn't my fault, it doesn't matter. If your computer goes kaput through no fault of your own, you're still going to have to replace it. Why? It's not your fault. Of course not your fault, but obviously the Bailim have full achrayas. So a shoel is like a little bit like an owner, he's responsible even for onsen. But when we're merely talking about shmira, so a shomer sachar is full shmira. You're being paid to do the job. You have to work b'chol kochacha, full shmira. That's why, as well, the Gemara in Bava Metzia, here back coming back to the Bava Kama, the Gemara in Perek HaKones, the Nevava Mebeis, you saw that machlokas. Once I pick up an aveda, if I walk by an aveda and I don't touch it, I may have violated a law of ignoring avedas, lo sucha lehisalein. But once I pick it up, I become a shomer.
And once I pick up that Veda, I have a chiyuv to return it to you. And the Gemara has a shaila in several places in Shas, what type of shomer am I? What type of shomer am I? So let's say I found your phone, I found your pen, I found your shirt, I found your sweater, whatever it is, I find someone's item, I'm supposed to return it to you. Let's say it gets ruined before I end up returning it to you. It gets lost, it gets stolen. So what type of shomer am I? So Pashup Shah, we should hold like Rabba, that you're shomer chinam. I'm not being paid to do it. So I should be a shomer chinam. If I'm poshaya, I'm chai. If I wasn't poshaya, gneva veda shvipata. The Gemara says, you see in the Sorosh HaShas sends you, this comes up in a number of different masechtas. Machlok is Rabba of Yosef. Rabba says shomer chinam, Rav Yosef says shomer sachar. And the Gemara always asks, Pashup Shah is like Rabba, shomer chinam. You're not being paid to be a shomer, you're shomer chinam. Why would I say shomer sachar? Rav Yosef is one who needs to explain his position. So the Gemara all over Shas has one answer, and this one Gemara in Bava Kamma has a second answer. All over Shas, the Gemara says, oh, he's a shomer sachar because sometimes you can save money by being a shomer avedah. The Gemara says, in case, because of the principle of osik mitzvah, partim min ha-mitzvah, if while I'm spending time taking care of the Aveda, an Ani comes by and asks for donations, I can say, look, I'm busy now with a different mitzvah, osik b'mitzvah, pater min ha-mitzvah, so I can save the pruta that otherwise would have given to the Ani. That's what we call pruta de Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef's pruta. Because that's the pruta that Rav Yosef spoke about and explained his shita about Shomer Aved being a Shomer Sachar. It's a chiddush. Since I might save a pruta, therefore I'm a Shomer Sachar. Here in Bava Kamma, the Gemara gives another explanation. Rachmana Shibde Bal Korche, because the Torah imposed this Chiv Shmir against your will. And therefore, how does that make me a Shomer Sachar? Because the Torah imposed it against my will. So the answer seems to be, or Sameh talks about it as well, Reshech talks about it in Ersat Tzvi. The answer seems to be, because if you typically I become a shomer through voluntary consent. You ask me, can I watch it? Either I say yes or no. If I say yes, we both agree, and then it's sort of contractual. Right? We agree that I would be the shomer for your item. So if we agree I'll be the shomer for the item, so then either it's a lower level of shmir, shomer chinam, or if you pay me, shomer sachar. But if the Torah is imposing, if I see an aveda, I didn't agree, I have no choice. The halacha mandates, I have to pick it up. As soon as I pick up, I become a shomer. I didn't agree to anything. This wasn't consensual. It wasn't voluntary. It wasn't contractual. I had no conversation with the Baal Aved. He doesn't even know that I have it. He may not even know that he lost it yet. He certainly doesn't know who picked it up. This wasn't his chayvus midas. It wasn't a chiyuv that I accepted voluntarily. It's not contractual. The Torah made me. The Torah imposes it on me. Tzuva b'Torah. The Torah imposes, I have to be a shomer. So Rav Yosef has the idea, but it's only mentioned here in Bava Kamma. The other sugyas don't mention this. But in Bava Kamma, the Gemara, our Sameach thinks this may have been something that, it may have been a tradition the Gaonim had, that they wrote in. They're fasting our Sameach. Rachmana shibde b'al korche, so what does it mean? The idea seems to be that this explanation of Yosef is if the Torah is imposing a chiyuv, it's going to impose it to the maximum. If you and I agree, a voluntary, bilateral, contractual agreement, so whatever we agree to, we agree to. We agree to more, we agree to less. And the default is we're agreeing to less unless you're paying me to agree to more. But if the Torah imposes you have to be a shomer whether you like it or not because you're the motzei aveda, so then this approach in Bava Kamma is saying, so then it's to the max. Now, 1 second, what's to the max? Even if you accept that svara, which Rabba could disagree with, Mechatesi, right, you would have thought it would be Shoel. It's not. Shomer Sachar. Why? It's what we said before. Shoel isn't a higher level of Shmir. A Shmir can only go to Pshia or to Gneva Aveda. But Shmir, by definition, means that I'm working hard to maintain your item. I'm doing what I can to prevent loss to your item. So it's only things which are preventable. You can't say, again, as we said before, the maximum chi of Shmira is Gneva Aveda. Onsim isn't Shmira. Because by def, Onsim Gemurim are things I couldn't prevent. I couldn't have watched it hard enough
to make sure onsen wouldn't occur. By definition, ones means, or ones in the context of the shomrim, means ones gomer, means those things which are entirely unpreventable. So with that in mind, now we come back to our machlokas and our discussion about Adam Mazik ba'ones gomer. Now we begin to see part of what seems like such fluidity in the sugya. Because the terms pshia and ones are really lie along a spectrum. Meaning, things are more or less preventable or not preventable at all. So ones gamur means the sort of thing that a shoel is chayiv on, things which are utterly unpreventable. There isn't really anything you could have done to prevent it. And then, our Tosfos, meaning Chav Zayin Beis, and also the Tosfos in Bav Metzia. So our Tosfos says, well, but we can also talk about Ones Ke'en Aveda or Ones Ke'en Geneva. What does that mean? That means things which are preventable, but it would be difficult to prevent. Pshia Gemura is the sort of thing that even Shomer Chinam is chayav on. You're less than even Gavra Bachari Koin. You're not even doing what a normal owner would do for his own stuff. Leaving it more open to risk than a normal owner would do for his own stuff, that absolute pshia. You're not even stepping into the shoes of the owner. But then there are more opportunities above that. So in the world of the Arba Shomrim, we make one more cut. We draw two lines. We draw within the world of Shmira, because Shmira is bounded by what's preventable. Ones Gamor is not even the world of Shmira, it's beyond Shmira. Shmira couldn't help to prevent that. So we make one cut in the world of Shomrim, which is what an owner would do, what an owner wouldn't do. So what an owner would have done, that even a Shomer Chinim is chayav to do. What an owner would not have done, only if you're a Shomer Sachar do you have to do. But we lump because the psukim in Parshas Mishpatim lump Geneva and Aveda together as something which does not appear as a chiyuv for a Shomer Chinim, does appear as a chiyuv for a Shomer Sachar. But Geneva Aveda themselves, in the world of Shomrim, the Arba Shomrim, we lump Geneva Aveda together. They're both things which are preventable, but beyond what an owner would do. But the truth is, Geneva Aveda aren't really the same. Because that's what Tosfos begins to tell us. That if we want to, we can make another cut. Because Geneva will typically be even harder to prevent than Aveda. You lost it. So maybe you did the minimal precautions that an owner would do for his own thing, but I lost it. That sounds a little more negligent than it got stolen. So Tosfos points out we could subdivide Shomer Sachar land into Ones Ke'en Aveda and Ones Ke'en Geneva. And that's a line that Tosfos draws. So let's recap for now. So what we've emerged with is a lot of important insight. Number one, when the Ramban says that Adam Mazik Ba'ones is absolutely Ba'ones Gamor, that means even Onsin that a Shoel, only a Shoel would be Chayv on a Shomer Sachar, is Patron. Meaning unpreventable Onsin. Like Ruach Shel Eliyahu. Right, the Ruach Shei Metsuya in the extreme. I couldn't have done anything to prevent it. I didn't see it coming. There's no way to hold on tight enough to avoid being blown off a roof by a hurricane. It's unpreventable. What Tosfos and the Rashba are saying is that, yeah, Adam Mazik Ba'ones means more than Pshia. So we were looking before and saying, what does this mean? Wait, Ones Gamor, Ones Shei Go, what the language means. Now we begin to know what the language means. Because Ones Gamor means absolutely unpreventable. But ones could also sometimes be used to mean less preventable. Less preventable than a pshia. And by the way, so we will meet them tomorrow, we will dig into the reading through the Tosfos inside and working out the step-by-step of how
each set of Rishonim deals with the other side's Gemaras, but I'll leave you with this very, very important fundamental point, which is that once you recognize that Onas Gomer is that which is utterly unpreventable, there's no amount of Shmira that could ward off an Onas Gomer by definition, whereas Onas She'enim Gemurim, Shomer Sachar land, means if you would have worked hard enough, you could have been Shomer, you could have avoided it. Then you begin to realize that the lumdus of the Machlokas Ramban versus Tosin and the Rashi appears to be, and this is many Achronim suggest, right, taking us back to what we declared on Daf Beis, while it might be true that Nizke Mammon are most likely begin as a chi of shmir. The Torah tells me I am required to take care of my property. I have a chi of to make sure my I have a mitzvah, a chi of to make sure that my property doesn't cause other people damage. And then once I have a chi of shmir, I have to pay if I violate that chi of shmir. If I was posheya and I didn't watch my property sufficiently, as a result of which it caused damage, not only did I do an avera, but it's an avera for which I have a chov mamon. I have to pay for that. And the question is that how we look at Ad the Hamazik also or not? So if you say like Tosis and the Rajba, it's the same as Mamon Hamazik, just more. Instead of being chayiv to watch it as a Shomer Chinam, to avoid Pshia in my Mamon, for myself, I have to watch myself more. Even like a Shomer Sachar. Tosis tweaks it maybe partially like a Shomer Sachar. Either I have to prevent myself from my own body from causing hezek to other people, either to the extent of Gneva and Aveda or just the extent of Aveda. But basically, it's merely a more advanced, more robust Chiyur Shmira. The Lumdus, according to Tosin and Ramban, to Tosis and Rashbi, excuse me, the Lumdus of Adam Hamazik remains fundamentally the same as Mamon Hamazik. I have a Chiyur Shmira, a bigger chi of shmir than by my mom, which is very mistaber, and that's the much more modest understanding of Petzah Tachas Patu. It didn't mean onus gamor like a sholo. It meant you have more chi of shmira than a mamon hamazon. Whereas for the Ramban, who says onus gamor, what he's saying is that I'm like a sholo. How do we like a sholo? Sholo is not, as we said before, it's not a sholo is not chayv an onsen because of a chi of shmira. Chi of shmira can never get to a chi of onsen. So the answer, so by Shoal, the answer is because Al Pi Halacha is a little bit like an owner. That's why he bears achrayas for almost anything that happens to the item. But Adam Hamazik, Ramban would say that Petzah Tachas Patzah is a much, much more radical chiddush. It's changing the whole nature of the chiyuv. That while by Mamon Hamazik it's a chiyuv shmira, Adam Hamazik is not a chiyuv shmira. I'm chai for my body. My sehezek, if my body did an action, I'm chayiv for it. It doesn't matter why. If your body, you did a maisehezek, you have to pay. That's pesat, for the Ramban, that's pesat tachas potza. And that's why you're chayiv for onsen gemurim. It wasn't my fault. Doesn't matter it wasn't your fault. It doesn't matter you weren't posheya. You did a maisehezek, which is why we'll see the Ramban says the only time you can be potter if someone else was posheya. That's how he's going to understand all the cases in the third paragraph. Oh, it's not that you weren't poshe. I don't care if you were poshe or not. If you weren't poshe, you're still chayiv. But if someone else was poshe, then we can shift the chiyuv onto him. But in the last, when you have a collision, Ramban says, then I can say he was poshe, so he picks it up off of you. But if there's no other party, you were mazik ba'ones, but no one else was poshe, then the Ramban says, you absolutely bear responsibility for your maisa. It was an onus gamor, no element of pshia whatsoever. In other words, it wasn't preventable. It wasn't a gnev aveda, you would have worked hard enough, you would have prevented. It was absolutely unpreventable. Ruach she'enim etzuda ki ruach she'eliyahu. Ramban said, it doesn't matter. You're chai for your maisa. It doesn't matter that you weren't. If I put milk into chalent, I did it by accident. Absolutely by accident. Onus gamor. But the chalent is still treif. The facts are the facts. The reality is it chalent is treif. So the Rabban would say the same thing. The reality is you were mazik. You were mazik, you have to pay. It wasn't your fault, it doesn't matter it wasn't your fault. If it could be someone else's fault, then maybe we can kick it over to him. And maybe there's also some special dispensation for professional setting, if you were working. So we'll have to, Richem, dig into that going forward.